Welcome to Real Talk About Real Estate.
What is it with men and asking for directions?
A weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing real estate. With your hosts, Joe Daniel and John Wallace.
Let's catch up, huh?
Yeah, let's
catch up. I got a real estate deal. I'm taking it to a final walkthrough, you know.
Okay.
Brought to you by CMG Financial.
Delighted to meet you. Overjoyed, enraptured, entranced. Are we ready? Yes. Good.
CMG Financial, NMLS number 1820, an equal housing lender.
I've been in this house before. I know the lady who owns it.
I liked her. She gave me a real good deal for the summer.
Questions can be sent to RealTalk at WSJM.com. Now, here are John and Joe.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. Joe Daniels, John Wallace, and into the studio today, it's Dave Eichberg, the superintendent for Berrien Springs Public Schools. School districts play a major role in where folks decide to buy a home or not. Mr. Eichberg, currently the superintendent, has completed 3 years there. Is that right? Is it just 3 years?
It's been just 3 years, John.
Just 3 years. 7 years in financial administration at Central Michigan University, 28 years working in K through 12 districts. You were at St. Joe as an assistant principal. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I remember from the boys, because as Joe would tell you, I'm 100 years old.
Yeah. Well, and that's being generous.
So currently administrative oversight for the Berrien Springs District, pioneers in Michigan's virtual learning. Dave, and I see Dave and your family on a regular basis at church. And of course, your daughter, Elisa, is at Waterville or Coloma that she teaches at?
She's at Waterville Middle School.
She's at Waterville.
Eighth grade math teacher.
And Chris, who was a running back, her husband, when Sam, my son, was the center at St. Joe, is finishing up his master's to go back into education, possibly, last I knew. Is teaching a family thing for you?
It has been for my immediate family. My extended family, not the case at all. In fact, my extended family is, I would say, uneducated.
Shots fired. Somehow I don't feel like that's making it in the Christmas card.
When I say uneducated, I have... some dropouts, high school dropouts. My father never went to high school. He
really?
Dropped out of school in eighth grade many years ago. My mother went until she was 16. She was born and lived in England, so compulsory education was through the age of 16. After that, it was college, and she grew up in a family that did not have the financial ability to send her beyond in education. So my parents and my extended family typically are high school educated at best. My own personal family, we're all college educated, and right now, all four of us are working actively in education.
Tell me about then that transition to you going to college.
It was the result of people at Berrien Springs. I'm a Shamrock alum. I graduated in
1904.
Yeah, 1976. It was the bicentennial year. It was probably one of the only years graduates from Berrien Springs wore red, white, and blue, and not the traditional green and white for graduation. It was really the result of wonderful educators, teachers, and coaches at Berrien Springs that really encouraged me to go on. They apparently saw potential in me that I didn't see in me. So that's what really motivated me to go on to college.
But that's a great family story, too, because it really helps with the students that you deal with and the diversity in the community and the diversity in the schools and helping them get a vision beyond where their current family is and where they could be if they pursued something beyond high school.
Correct. Yes. I'd like to think that it's the old proverbial, I've walked in those shoes, so I know what they feel like, and I know what those kids may be experiencing.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to ask, so is Berrien Springs your first superintendency in your career?
Yes.
And would you have considered being a superintendent in a different district, or was it a draw to Berrien Springs, considering the history?
The superintendency wasn't anything I really aspired to be honest. I was very comfortable as high school principal in Berrien Springs, and in my mind, really thought that that's where I would retire. It just one of those situations where I happened to be in the right place at the right time. So would I have considered another district? Likely not. I was really thinking more about, you know, what's the 5-year plan here to get to retirement? And the 5-year plan was be the Shamrock principal. So I probably wouldn't have, to be honest.
I think that's cool, though. We have interviewed some other superintendents. This is part of a series for other districts. And I think you're the first, correct me if I'm wrong, John, the first superintendent we've talked to that actually attended the district as a kid and then grew up through the district, taught at the district, and became a superintendent. I think everybody else we've talked to have kind of moved into their position
from somewhere else. Yeah.
Well, actually, I didn't just not to be overly corrective, but I did not teach at Marion Springs. I was high school principal there.
Oh, fair enough.
Prior to becoming superintendent.
Right.
My teaching experience actually was in the Grand Rapids area. I taught in a couple of districts outside of the Grand Rapids area before becoming an administrator at St. Joe Public Schools.
And Central Michigan.
Correct.
You're a Chip. Go Chips.
Go fire up Chips. You bet.
Here's that. Central Michigan just has a phenomenal program for teachers and education and helping those students get into the student teaching aspect of it as well, as opposed to some other colleges that have been on double secret probation for their teaching programs, not to be mentioned, of course.
And if there's any Chippewas out there, I believe the history, as I recall, of the university was its original founding was as the Central Normal Teaching School.
Ah.
And then later they added other programs and diversified and became, you know, a fully diverse, well-rounded university that they are today. But my understanding is originally founded, that's its purpose was to train teachers.
Train teachers. Well, it does an excellent job of that. And not just because I have a son who graduated from there.
So if there's any Chippewas out there that absolutely factually know the history, they can call into your show and confirm that I'm correct. But
right.
I'm pretty sure that I am.
JWallace at cmgfi.com. JDaniel at cmgfi.com as well. And how has the district grown since you got there?
Well, our growth has been a bit interesting and probably somewhat unique. We talk about two campus programs. We have our program in Berrien Springs and literally all of our facilities, all seven of them. I'm looking at Gail to make sure I'm correct. We have seven facilities, academic facilities. All of those facilities are on a campus setting. So none of our schools are spread out throughout the neighborhood or outside the school, the village limits. Everything is together in one setting. That's unique. That enrollment has been pretty steady at about 1950 to 2000 students for the past several years. We're really not looking to grow that enrollment. We're maximizing the use of our facilities with that enrollment. Our off-campus piece, though, is about 10 years ago, our district invested in and began to look at opportunities to serve underserved kids, kids who are often marginalized, dropouts. And we did that through the seat time waiver. We were one of the very first districts in the state of Michigan to take advantage of that and be given a seat time waiver by the Michigan Department of Education.
For those who are outside the industry, explain seat time waiver.
Yes. Currently, all academic instruction is based on the student being seated in a classroom. And there's a requirement of 1,098 instructional hours that every district's required to make sure that every student receives on an annual basis.
I always knew the school years felt long. 1,098 hours.
Well,
And
of course, every student does perfectly well sitting at a desk in a classroom for 8 hours a day.
Of course.
Every one of them. And that's why that's still the base model. Marion Springs used the seat time waiver, which basically the seat time waiver said that the belief is that a child can learn outside of an hour's requirement.
All right,
that we all learn. We all learn differently.
Good job, Marion Springs.
So we use that seat time waiver to create a number of alternative virtual programs. So currently we have physical sites that we call tutoring centers that are located throughout the state of Michigan, including two in the Upper Peninsula.
Wow.
And so that's where a significant part of our student growth has occurred is in that programming. There's a real high demand we found for kids who have dropped out. Some of them just don't function well, the traditional brick and mortar doesn't work well for their learning styles and needs.
I had one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A lot of us are, really.
We need to take a quick break, but just in closing that short discussion up on that, there's a high school principal and a middle school principal for Berrien Springs Schools. There is a principal for the Virtual Academy. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I know we have to take a break. I'd like to talk a lot more about that just because, in my opinion, the biggest point of differentiation between Berrien Springs and other districts in the area is that virtual classroom opportunity. Because I think you're the only folks locally doing really anything like that right now. Is that?
There are some others in small cases, instance, in their school, in their district, for students who are part of the district already. But across the state, I don't know anybody else that's
right. And John's correct. Many of the Berrien County school districts have some type of virtual learning experience within the district. But when you look at districts in Berrien County or even statewide who have employees and programs that are dispersed throughout the state, we're one of a handful that are currently doing that work.
Well, if you're thinking about training the future workforce, that remote learning is an important skill because we see clients all the time who work for Microsoft or work for a company out of China or Japan. They just happen to live here, and they are doing most of their work remotely today. So that remote learning as a skill going up through graduating high school becomes, and for college degrees, a lot of college degrees today are done remotely too. That's a very important skill for a student to learn. We're talking to Dave Eichberg, the superintendent for Berrien Springs Public Schools. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Hey girl, you coming to the housewarming party next weekend?
Absolutely.
Wait, you guys bought a house?
I thought you said you were going to save up and it was going to take a while.
It was, but then we found out about Home Fund Me from CMG Financial in St. Joe. We were able to raise our down payment a lot faster than we thought.
No way.
What was that called again? Home Fund Me. That's H-O-M-E fundme.com. The website tells you everything you need to know.
So this Home Fund Me thing is from CMG Financial? What's CMG Financial?
They're a mortgage company. That's all they do. So they're really, really good at it. Their office is in downtown St. Joe.
Awesome. I'm going to check them out.
Copyright 2018 CMG Financial. All rights reserved. CMG Financial is a registered trade name of CMG Mortgage Incorporated. NMLS number 1820 in most, but not all states. CMG Mortgage Incorporated is an equal opportunity lender. To verify our list of state licenses, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Tired of renting? Visit CMGFI.com or call 269-932-0577.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. Joe Daniel, John Wallace in the studio with Dave Eichberg, the superintendent of Berrien Springs Public Schools. Went to school in Berrien Springs, graduated Central, and after years of teaching up in the Grand Rapids area and principal over at St. Joe High School, became principal first at Berrien Springs High School. Joe, you wanted to talk more about the virtual learning academy and those remote sites that Berrien Springs is running across the state.
Yeah, just very curious because the reach of this radio show goes well beyond the boundaries of the Berrien Springs School District. So for those who are listening, and let's say I am underserved or dropped out of high school and need to complete some required courses to be able to move my education forward, where do I find information about what Berrien Springs offers? What are the qualification requirements to get into a program like that?
We have a pretty active website, www.homeoftheshamrock.org. We also have a website specifically for the off-campus alternative program that we're talking about. And if people just Google success virtual learning centers, they will be able to access that website. And each of the different tutoring centers that we currently operate are on that website. There's also some student testimonials that are short video clips that are on that website and all the information they would need for enrollment and contact information for actual individuals who will talk with them.
Rachel Stout is the principal, the head of the virtual academy. And I'm sitting out at the school data website at the moment, and the numbers related to the virtual academy, we'll get to this public school district numbers a little later, but 60% of those students are making dramatic progress in their academic career in the virtual academy, where the state average is only 40%. That's a pretty small number statewide. 73% of those students in the virtual academy are taking advanced coursework. So that's, you know, pre-college placement kind of classes or even the college credit kind of classes as well.
Mm-hmm. Our on-campus program, the one that you're referencing, John, has been very successful for our students. Their performance on the state assessments has outpaced the state averages across the board in all content areas, and we're really proud of that. Really, it's just about a different learning style. It's about a different preference. And, you know, when we look at research in education today, it talks about the need to give students voice and to give them choice. And really, we see that type of programming as fulfilling part of that need, to say that not every child learns the same way, at the same time, the same pace, the same place. And that program is really what started that program and our alternative program on campus that Bill Bergen, who's our head football coach, Bill is the director of that program. That was the first virtual alternative program that we operated, and based on the model that Bill helped develop, all of these other programs that I'm talking about around the state are modeled after that. So they all follow that same model. So Bill was very involved years ago, 10 years ago, when we started our first off-campus sites.
He's a really good football coach, too.
He's a very good
football coach. It's not a sports show, but you know.
Well, yeah, but talk about continuity of coaching and faces in the community or helpful figures within the district, too. I mean, that kind of longevity for somebody having been so involved for over a decade now, you don't necessarily see that in a lot of school districts either.
Correct. Bill is very valuable to our district. He wears multiple hats and has great relationships with kids and parents, and he is all about Berrien Springs Public Schools. He's a shamrock.
I think one of the great things about the Berrien Springs Public School District, too, and the Virtual Academy included in that, too, is the financial stability that the district has as opposed to some other districts and or numerous other districts, not just here, but across the state, which allows you to be a little more stable, I think, with the administration and the teachers and the staff to help the students grow.
John, what we basically looked at as a district was we know we're here for academics first, for learning, but we also understand that a big part of operating a school district is that we're a business. And so we try to find a blend between being entrepreneurial and being academic minded for our students and our parents. And really where we've landed is kind of in between. And because of that culture that now exists in our district from the board all the way down to teacher leaders, we've looked for opportunities to create revenue streams for our district. And what we've learned is that as we've partnered with a variety of people around the state, we've got other partnership programs too that I could talk hours about, but I won't. We don't have time.
It's only a 40-minute show, Dave. I'm sorry.
When do you two have time to talk? Because I'm going to need at least that much time.
Oh, that's okay. We like to ask a question. You talk for 10 minutes.
Hey, when I get done here, you guys might be out of a job. They might want to.
Well, you know.
My staff knows that I can talk with the best of them. So just to finish my thought quickly. So as a result of those partnerships, it's created some small streams of revenue that have allowed us to have a little bit of flexibility financially in our district. And that's part of the benefit of helping kids who are underserved off campus, is we can do some really unique and neat things for kids on campus, like develop a STEM program for our entire district K-12. Right. We're a STEM district K-12. Our kindergartners are doing STEM work.
And for those who don't know, just in case, so I went to a small school that didn't have a STEM program. I've not heard this until recently. What is a STEM program?
Really, it's
science, technology,
education and math.
Engineering.
No.
Engineering and math.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah, because it's an educational program.
Well, it was a 50-50 deal, so you really can't lose on that,
yeah,
Joe.
And, you're good. And I think nationally, there's even starting to be a move towards STEAM, which adds an arts back into it that got eliminated in so many districts around
STEAM.
The country.
That's correct. Exciting. Gosh, you guys have some good
it's
acronyms
a Peter Gabriel
in the education.
Song.
Way too many. You could write a book on all the acronyms. Pages, pages, and pages.
Yeah. But back to science, technology, engineering, and math, starting in kindergarten through elementary school program, that means there's a Lego robotic going on
yes,
there as well?
Yes, we do Lego robotics. We do FIRST robotics, and there are courses that introduce students to engineering, biomedical sciences at the high school, and computer science. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three primary contents. And within each of those content areas, there are multiple classes that students take. If you're a high school student interested in engineering, you can take an engineering class, a different one, each of the 4 years of high school. Same with biomedical sciences.
That almost sounds like a college-type platform within a high school.
They absolutely are, and our program is now certified through Project Lead the Way, which is a national organization that provides curriculum for STEM programs. We've been using PLTW, another acronym, for 4 years. We're entering our fifth year, and those high school courses in engineering and biomedical sciences, some of those courses, currently we have articulation agreements with universities, not only in the state of Michigan, but outside the state of Michigan. So
articulation are, meaning those credits will transfer.
That is correct.
And PLTW means?
Project Lead the Way. Hey,
the way.
I'm paying attention. I ate my Wheaties this morning. All right.
You didn't have your Monster or your Rockstar yet, though, I could tell.
No. Believe it or not, Dave, this gets excessively more hyper throughout the day. Yeah. It's tragic.
I can imagine.
Well, and when we talk about Berrien Springs High School in particular, I mean, the advanced coursework state average is 29%, but you're 63% in the last most recent year's numbers of your students in the high school are taking advanced coursework, preparing them for that college or having some college credits to transfer. And that's a huge advantage.
Again, an interesting piece of information about our district at the high school, we've chosen not to offer AP courses. That's not always a popular philosophy for mm-hmm. some families in our district, and I understand that. But instead, what we've chosen to do is give kids actual hands-on college experiences, or we've allowed them to earn college credit through the STEM program. We have a number of students who participate in the math and science program at Andrews University, and they are earning college credits in those courses. We have a high number of students who dual enroll, and we're part of the county consortium in the early middle college. So students have multiple pathways to earn college credits beyond just AP courses.
Right.
And so currently we don't offer an AP course in our building, but students have access to AP courses and college credits through multiple pathways in programs that we partner with other people.
Well, I think that's important because, yeah, AP courses within the school, okay, that's a nice luxury, but at the same time, you want to give students a voice and a choice,
voice,
right?
And choice.
So how are they going to pursue what they want to pursue? And really all you're doing is creating pathways which they can do that, as opposed to, hey, if you want to take an AP science course, you sit in this classroom for this amount of time and there you go. So you're partnering with Andrews. What are some of the other colleges you partner with?
We partner with Lake Michigan College. Mm-hmm. That's part of the Berrien County Early Middle College Consortium. Actually, we were the first high school in the area to be approved as our own early middle college program. When the state offered those opportunities in about 2010, we applied and we were one of the early districts in the state of Michigan. In 2011, we were an approved early middle college program. So we had students involved in that program. When it became a county initiative, we gave up that
solo part
and joined the consortium. And Joe, to just piggyback on your thought, by offering pathways outside of our small high school, we're a high school with 500 students. If we have an AP curriculum, it's going to be extremely limiting to students. By forming these partnerships outside of the district, we are opening up possibilities to students for earning college credit that we could never offer inside the walls of our building. We're not large enough. I don't have a staff large enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so many students taking so many courses. And so you're making a lot of choices about, okay, what are you going to give up currently in your course offering to make those things possible? So by forming these partnerships outside of the building itself, the classrooms itself, we really have opened up to students many, many more choices, almost to the point where we can't say it's unlimited, but it's certainly a lot less restricting than if I were offering them in the building.
I graduated in 06. And where
19?
No, 2006, John.
And just making sure, Joe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm young. Remember? Do you remember what that's like, John? To be young?
You could be back. Yeah. No, I don't. Actually, I don't.
But back in 06, you know, there were some limited dual enrollment options, but it wasn't as popular as it is now. In a larger context, do you feel like the face of elementary to high school education is going to be more based on cooperation between, you know, the elementary K to 12 type schools and the colleges or vocational trade schools? Do you see continued increased cooperation just to help kids?
Absolutely. In fact, I see a future where really at some point we're going to abolish grade levels. Learning is going to happen based on interest and ability to perform and to show mastery or proficiency is another term we use. And eventually a lot of those grade level barriers that exist are going to just dissolve. They're going to go away for the reason you just said, Joe. Hey, by the way, Joe, you're wearing a hat.
I'm curious
what's under that hat. Do you have hair?
I have... entirely.
You're
too
talking
much
about
hair.
John being old. Yeah. I'm an old guy too, yeah. So I got to defend John. Oh, you got hair.
I've got a mane nice. Under here that I'm just trying to contain with
this
hat.
I didn't know if there's maybe a little baldness going on there. I just had to check.
I'm just waiting for the stitching on this hat to just fall apart and this mop to explode into this room.
I think one of the odd statistics that shows how well the teachers, the entire staff at Berrien Springs listen to the students and have created the curriculum program that works for them is the fact that on-track attendance statewide is only about 80%, and you're well above 95%. Students mm-hmm. want to be in your buildings and growing and learning, and that's a really exciting thing.
Yes, we value the support that our families have for what we're doing, and attendance generally is not a significant problem. We always have a few students who have issues with attendance, but every school does, and thanks for bringing that up. We're very proud of those attendance rates. And we believe it does say exactly what you just voiced.
We're talking to Dave Eichberg, the superintendent of Berrien Springs Public Schools. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial, a News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
If you're thinking about buying a new home, experience extraordinary at CMG Financial for your new mortgage. CMG Financial is a national mortgage leader and the only approved lender for Home Fund Me to help you crowdfund your down payment. For more information, visit homefundme.com.
Whether you need a conventional, FHA, USDA, or VA loan,
CMG Financial has all of those options and more for home buyers and homeowners who need to refinance.
If you're thinking about buying a new home, experience extraordinary at CMG Financial for your new mortgage.
Striving to close in 21 days or less for every customer, every time. CMG Financial. 800 Port Street, downtown St. Joe. Your new home awaits with CMG Financial.
Copyright 2018, CMG Financial, always reserved. CMG Financial is a registered trademark of CMG Mortgage Incorporated. NMLS 1820 in most but not all states. CMG Mortgaging is an equal opportunity lender. To verify our list of state licenses, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Come experience extraordinary in mortgage lending at CMG Financial today.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial, a News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. In the studio, it's Dave Eichberg, the superintendent for Berrien Springs Public Schools. In all the things that Berrien Springs has offered a few years ago, because there was special needs tie-in to Gateway, who had facilities right next to the schools as well, and you guys took over those buildings. What are you doing in those buildings these days?
Thanks, John, for mentioning that. We had an opportunity to purchase the property. There was a couple of buildings that was part of that Gateway program and about 4 acres of property. We originally purchased that property to create a facility for our STEM program. So currently in that facility, there are two primary uses. The primary use is we have some STEM labs in there. So we've got a really high-tech biomedical sciences lab, and then we have a very large area for engineering.
Can I just say, like, coming from a small school 12 years ago, it almost freaks me out that biomedical sciences and engineering are being offered at high school. Like, I just can't imagine that within my small scope. That's so cool. Anyway, that's just what I just want to throw. I was thinking about
whether I should mention that district again. Joe graduated from River Valley.
So. I did. Yeah.
And if River Valley had the means to do some of the things that Berrien Springs does, they would.
Absolutely.
But again, this goes back to the sound financial basis that Berrien Springs overall has as a district.
It's all about the cultural leadership, and I'm not talking about me specifically, but leaders from the board right down to teacher leaders in our district. There's this cultural leadership that really is entrepreneurial. It's a leadership culture that's willing to take some risks for kids and do neat things for kids, and sometimes we make mistakes. Our board's been awesome about allowing us to get in front of them publicly and say, hey, that didn't work very well, so here's how we're going to fix that problem, and we move on. Not everything that we've tried has worked for kids. But the idea in Berrien Springs is that we want to give parents and kids choices. We believe that research tells us that students learn through different modalities. There's different learning styles. They learn at different paces. And if you look at traditional education, and we believe this, though. I'm going to say this before I make this statement. We believe that traditional education still works for some students, and we will still offer that and support that because it does work well for some students, but it doesn't work for all students. And because of that, our goal is to meet the learning needs of all students. We absolutely believe that. We believe it with our whole heart. And so everything that we've been doing the last 10 years is to move in the direction of being able to meet as many of those choices and needs as is reasonably possible financially. And so as a result of that, a lot of what we've talked about on the show today is to try to meet the needs of all student learners. Our STEM programming is about that. Robotics is about that. And I could go on and on about all the really unique programs that we do for a very small school district for our kids.
As well as adding, again, the Virtual Academy. And it ties back to some great TED Talks and phenomenal books by Ken Robinson, Howard Gardner, Five Minds for the Future, or Howard Gardner's work on brains, where some of us are good with our hands, some of us are good visually, some of us are good at math, some of us are good with words or music. And to try and force everybody into a single single box.
Some of us aren't good at any of those things.
Yeah, but you dress nice,
Is that in
nice,
the book?
Joe.
Okay, well, there's that.
So you know there's a saying that people will say, if you can't, then you teach. So now I'm wondering, if you can't, do you do radio? Yeah. Is that, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, I always heard it from the movie School of Rock. Those who can't teach, teach gym. I don't
know. Okay. Whoa.
Careful.
No
Whoa.
Offense to you. I'm sure you have
Whoa,
a fantastic...
I have some awesome, awesome... PE teachers. Yeah. My good buddy, Coach Tim Sunday, right now. I hope he's not listening. He's been around the district a long time. He's just an incredible human being, great with kids. So,
these days,
a shout out to Coach Sunday.
Yeah. PE teachers got even a better motivator to get kids off of their couch and Xbox.
Right. And just a quick thought, too, about our Project Lead the Way program. That's the curriculum we use in our STEM program. One aspect of that we think really makes that successful, not only is it meeting the interest of kids, but you talked about hands-on, John. That mm-hmm. is almost all hands-on. It's project-based learning. And project-based learning is really foundational to a lot of the learning we do grades 6 through 12. We've had some pretty extensive training. And again, I could talk an hour on that. But we really believe that a lot of effective learning happens through project-based learning, which basically it's giving kids the opportunity to have hands-on. It's giving kids to be curious about things. It creates the opportunity for inquiry, for kids to hypothesize about learning. It's not just sitting and getting all the time.
No, and it's not just creating some new 4-page paper necessarily, because project-based learning, you have an end project, whether it's a model of something or a video or an audio, or you've made a movie. You've explored different aspects of both learning and creativity to get an end result, as opposed to, here, let me type out another 4-page paper.
Correct. And a component that we've added to that is in the spring, in Berrien Springs, from grades 3 through 12, we have what's called exhibition nights. Those are a night. There's one night at the high school, one at the middle, and one at our upper elementary, where students, it's like an open house, they exhibit their projects. And so they've created presentations, and people can walk around in the open house and listen to students talk about their learning. They talk about how they've used the 4 C's, which are for 21st century skill, how they've collaborated, how they've communicated, how they've thought critically about things. They talk about these skills that we believe are really critical for kids to have to be successful outside of school. They talk about their passion. They talk about their project. And it's really a neat thing, especially with younger kids, to hear them talk about their learning. And then our seniors, we've had a senior project. They write a passions paper early in the fall. And then they spend the year with a community mentor and an education mentor developing their passion. And how mm-hmm. does that passion drive and motivate their future? And what we find is, for some kids, they realize, that's not maybe really what I thought it was going to be. So before mom and dad begin to invest dollars in a college education, they're off on a different pathway. But for many, it just affirms their passion about something. So maybe I'm passionate about teaching, and my senior project, writing that passion paper, having a community mentor, working through a passions related project, and then presenting that at the end of the year helps affirm that for me. Yeah. So that's a big part of what we do too. I wanted to put a plug in for these exhibition nights. We think that part is really critical. It's critical for kids to learn how to speak publicly, but present to people about their learning. So it's not just about their project, but it's about the process of learning that they went through.
Well, one of the things I'm not fond of is, and came down from National and State years ago, is this standardized testing of everybody has to fit into a box. And what you're creating is not only a passion for, I'm really interested in this, but it's a passion for lifelong learning. Because it doesn't matter what age we are, if we stop learning, then we become less useful to the organizations that we work for and provide our incomes. And if you want to live a longer, healthier life, you just have to continue to learn something new all the time, let alone in your field. And through that program, you're creating a passion to learn, whether that ends up being I go into welding, which is a great career field and has lots of openings at the moment, or I'm heading off to college because I'm going to go biomedical or engineering.
You're absolutely correct, John. We talk a lot in education about helping students become college and career ready, and I certainly believe that that's a responsibility we have as educators. But I think an even more deep deeper and important responsibility is that concept that you just talked about, that we are to help create in students the desire and the joy of becoming lifelong learners.
Well, and it also then turns around and shows in their test scores, which are much higher than the state average and many of the other school districts' average, even though I would expect, again, part based on Andrews University being nearby, and Andrews Academy is a whole nother, is a different entity, but I would bet that you've got some fair turnover here and there from students whose families are moving in and out of the district because they attend Andrews and move back to wherever it is they're going to work next.
You're absolutely correct. We deal with a highly transitional, or transient is, the, I guess, the word transient population in our district because of that.
Sure.
That
families
fact that
come in to go to Andrews to get whatever level of degree they are, and Andrews is a wonderful university. My wife's landscaping degree came from Andrews. But at the same time, because you've got, I don't know, last I heard, 160 countries represented at Andrews University at any one time, as those parents graduate, the families move back out of the community. So you might only have a student for 2 or 3 years. But to maintain test scores when you're turning students over every 3 or 4 years because of that, and they don't necessarily get to the graduation point because the family moved, that just commends the district even more because that's harder to do.
Yeah. And another part of what you're talking about that's a pretty significant factor in learning that becomes a challenge in our district is that we have students who come to us internationally who speak no English or limited English. And so that compounds the ability of that student to learn and demonstrate mastery and proficiency. So they're not only engaged in the learning of the content, they're also learning the language.
But I also think that for the entire student body, that diversity is a wonderful thing. Because every company you can go to work for these days, and anywhere you want to go and work and travel in the world, you need to have a solid understanding and acceptance of the diversity of human beings that are don't all look exactly like me or you or Gail or Joe.
Yeah, and
thank
not,
God they don't all look like Joe.
Well, you know, the world would be a better place. But and I'll say, you know, coming from the district I did, that a diversity of population is not something that I grew up experiencing. I had to learn that outside of school. So I just think that's a huge opportunity, not without its challenges, of course, but you're going to have to face those socialization challenges at some time. And it's better to do it in school than when you're an adult and have learned bad habits and have to break through these preconceived barriers you have in your head. So I think that's a fantastic opportunity.
I've really thought about it like this. When I graduated from Berrien Springs Public Schools, really the world I had to learn to and be able to navigate was really Southwest Michigan and Northwest Indiana, because media and Chicago. All of our media at that time came out of those regional areas, and people were a lot less mobile for the most part. And so you were going to find a career somewhere near home. I mean, that's just how it worked back 40, 50 years ago. And even it was even more of a factor before my generation. Today, that's just not true for most students. They will be likely very mobile. And because of technology, their whole world is global all the time. Everything they're doing is in a global world. So what a better way to prepare kids for being able to navigate a global world than giving them the opportunity to learn in a global world.
Of course.
Outstanding. We need to take a quick break and come back and do the lightning round. We're talking with Dave Eichberg, the superintendent for Berrien Springs Public Schools, with Joe Daniel. I'm John Wallace. We'll be right back. Joe, we can do a shorter lightning round.
Yeah, I don't have
anything for
hold on.
I'm good.
I can go first.
I've got a good sense of humor. Actually, I have a good sense of humor.
I can take him.
But I'm not funny, and my kids tell me to stop trying to be funny because I'm not.
You're not funny.
I have a 32-year-old and a 27-year-old. They're both teachers and coaches, and no, they
looks
Dad, you're not funny.
You're not funny,
I'm still going to get 3 questions, but
looks
I don't think
aren't
they'll
everything.
Elicit large responses. They're good questions, I promise.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Hey girl, you coming to the housewarming party next weekend?
Absolutely. Wait, you guys bought a house?
I thought you said you were going to save up and it was going to take a while.
It was, but then we found out about Home Fund Me from CMG Financial in St. Joe. We were able to raise our down payment a lot faster than we thought.
No way. What was that called again?
Home Fund Me. That's HOME fundme.com. The website tells you everything you need to know.
So this home fund me thing is from CMG Financial? What's CMG Financial?
They're a mortgage company. That's all they do. So they're really, really good at it. Their office is in downtown St. Joe.
Awesome. I'm going to check them out.
Copyright 2018 CMG Financial. All rights reserved. CMG Financial is a registered trade name of CMG Mortgage Incorporated. NMLS number 1820 in most, but not all states. CMG Mortgage Incorporated is an equal opportunity lender. To verify our list of state licenses, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Tired of renting? Visit CMGFI.com or call 269-932-0577.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate. Brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk about Real Estate. Joe Daniels, John Wallace in the studio with Dave Eichberg, superintendent of Berrien Springs Public Schools. I have an identical shirt to that, Dave, except it's got a Spartan logo on it. I just thought I'd bring that up.
That's a bummer.
Oh, because you're
green,
a Chip?
The green. I'm a Chippewa, but I kind of like the Wolverines.
Oh, well, I wouldn't hold that against you or move your chair on Sunday before you get to church.
That's very unchurch-like, John.
Well, that's all right. Chairs. We have a pastor.
No, I said I wouldn't do that.
We have a pastor, though.
Who's a Packer fan.
He's a I can't even say that.
Don't say it.
Buckeye. Oh, my gosh.
So lightning round, Dave. These are three just somewhat random questions. Some are related to what we've talked about today. A couple of them are absolutely not. First thing I want to ask is more of a serious question. You've been in financial administration. You've been an assistant high school principal, a high school principal. You've been a teacher. What's been the biggest learning curve for you stepping into the superintendency role from those other roles you filled before?
That is a thoughtful question, Joe. That is a serious question.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that, John?
Thoughtful
he
question.
He almost said, I didn't even think you were capable of that kind of question, Joe. Yeah.
I didn't either, Joe. We're getting more respect from millennials every day.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, this is Stump the superintendent. Probably representing an organization. And when you're a superintendent, that's what you do. You represent a school organization. It's a 24/7 representation. You're constantly in the public eye. And when you're a small community, people all know who you are. And when you're a person that really prides themselves, which I do, and I think all superintendents do, in being a good listener and wanting to hear from people and give people an opportunity to speak and share input, you're kind of on the job all the time. So the neat thing is vacation, because you can get out of town. Like Sunday was a great example. I'm in Grand Haven with my wife, walking the riverfront, having a great time, and somebody goes, "Hey, Dave Eichberg."
Oh, and you I'm have going, paparazzi everywhere you go.
No.
That's fantastic.
But it was a former Catholic. So I think it's the responsibility to represent the district at all times, to make sure that you're doing the right things and saying the right things at all times.
Gotcha. And I'm actually going to cut lightning round down to two questions, John.
Okay.
I'm going to cut it down. So you mentioned at the top of the show that superintendency, you thought you were going to be a high school principal until you retired, and then the superintendent position opened up and you graciously accepted it. What are you going to do when you finally get around to retirement? Are you going to be one of these guys that's on vacation all the time? Are you going to get a part-time job because you can't remember what it's like not to work and it drives you crazy? What's going to best describe you retired?
Cut and stack wood.
Why would you stop a paying job to cut and stack wood?
Because I love to cut and stack wood. I love being out in the woods, and I burn wood all winter.
Oh, do you? Now, this is not a house that's just wood burning only.
No.
No, okay. No, just make it sure. I mean, they exist in the area. They're harder to sell. But
no, I've got the Cadillac heating and I got the Cadillac HVAC system in the world. My brother-in-law, Mark Wurzel, he owns Water Furnace of Michiana. And I got the family discount, so I got an incredible heating and cooling system, but I supplement with
that's hilarious. I've got the Cadillac of HVAC systems for my brother who hooked me up, and I use a wood stove. Does your brother make fun of you about that often?
He uses a wood stove too.
Okay, one fireplace, two fireplaces, wood stove, or both?
I have a fireplace with a wood stove insert.
How many bedrooms? Fireplace. How many baths?
A lot.
John, he doesn't want to sell his house. Quit asking questions.
It's four bedrooms and four baths.
Oh.
Well, three and a half baths.
But that works well. It works well when you have someday grandkids visiting, because you won't have fighting over the bathrooms.
Two of the bedrooms and one of the bathrooms are downstairs for the kids and grandkids. Yeah.
Supplemental question about your retirement. Earlier today, you made me lift my hat, and that was unfortunate because there's a big mop of uncapped kept hair up there. And you also said that you would like to have more hair at this point in your life. So when you retire, are you going to pull the number 54 Brian Urlacher and go get a full head of hair after you retire?
No. I think I like bald. It works well for me.
So. And your wife likes it.
She does. She doesn't mind it. No.
So you also said earlier that you were on a 5-year retirement plan when you 3 years ago moved and became superintendent.
Right.
So is that we're still out in the 2025 range, Dave? I'm not going to hold you because the board's listening. They're going, hey, do we got to replace?
Hey, I'm here for as long as the board still sees me as the viable leader in the district. And we've got a lot of work to do in our district right now, a number of new initiatives that we want to move forward. So honestly, John, I don't really have a time frame on that. You know, the conversation I've had with the board is I'm here as long as you need me to be and want me to be here and you see me as the effective leader. When I'm no longer being effective as a leader, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. The website for the school district, again, if you're looking for more information, is homeoftheshamrocks.org. And one of the sites I was reading off of earlier, which has data on every school district in the state, was mischooldata.org as well. Dave Eichberg, superintendent for Berrien Springs Public Schools, congratulations on the growth and success, and I keep up the great work.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
It was a pleasure to be on your show.
You've been listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, a weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing homes in Southwest Michigan.
Satisfying a fundamental urge for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace.
Brought to you by CMG Financial. Questions can be sent to realtalk@wsjm.com.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
CMG Financial, NMLS number 1820, an equal housing lender. Real Talk About Real Estate. We'll be back this same time next week on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Catch you later on down the trail.